12:02. McMonagle here with you on another special edition 5 hour midnight ride. We didn't know it was going to happen. The heavens opened, and here I am. Lucky you. I got you for 5 hours all the way to the warm up show. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We got Fliegelman on the other side. And again, a revised schedule and brand new edition of the Midnight Ride as we get till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. And obviously, following that Met loss, let's lead with the Mets because that's a disappointing loss. Yet again, a couple of things that have been trending in a certain direction bite the Mets yet again as they lose 6-3 to the Rockies last night. There you go. Music stings out. They lose 6-3 to the Rockies last night. They are now 2-3 to start this road trip, which is unacceptable against the teams they played so far. Yes, they had a bounce-back win off of the two losses in Anaheim against St. Louis yesterday. The offense scored some runs. Manaea was brilliant. But you cannot lose this game to the Rockies with Severino on the mound. You can't lose 2-3 to start this important road trip out west against lousy teams. As this month, we've talked about how important this month is, how important this stretch is. And as you see, you know, Arizona rained out. You lost a game to the two of them. Atlanta's been awful, so you're still a game and a half back of that last wild card. But this is where the Mets need to win these games. You cannot lose to the Rockies. And this feast or famine offense that has been, since the All-Star break, you know, the month of June, when they were building up this record and padding up all these wins, the offense was spectacular, right? The offense top to bottom, you know, throughout the lineup, all these guys over 700 OPS, everyone having career years, Iglesias, Vientos, I've said it a bunch, how this offense really impressed you. And it looked like top to bottom, one of the best offenses in the sport, especially with Lindor, who had a terrible game last night. But Lindor and Nimmo, who loves it, loves hitting in Colorado. Lindor and Nimmo at the top of that order, when that switch was made, this offense really took off. And I know we spent a lot of time on Pete Alonso last night, but save him having a good year, everybody else has been having this great year. But since the All-Star break, this offense, again last night, 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position, have been the problem. And yes, the other because they have either feasted or famine. They have scored a ton of runs in a couple of games, but other than that, they haven't really scored here. You've seen guys slump and cool off, and you're seeing this team's inability to come through with the big hit, and last night was the perfect example because this game changed a bunch of different ways. Obviously, the third inning where Severino gives up, the fourth inning, when Severino gives up the three runs, including the home run to Jake Cave, who was traded from the Yankees to Minnesota for Luis Gil, was a former Yankee farmhand, but he comes through with that Rockies home run at Coors Field, and they get the three runs, and Severino is the other talking point of this game, and you're starting to worry about Severino here because he is supremely important. And it was just a few weeks ago where the discussion was whether or not you should trade Severino, whether or not there was a buy-sell mentality going on in the Met front office. And we talked about how important Severino is to this team and how he is, and certainly now without Senga, the ace of this staff. And he is someone who's, to me, I didn't want to move him. I wanted to keep him because I want to win with this group and I need this starting rotation that has been a pleasant surprise all year. A starting rotation that was supposed to be the biggest liability on this team to start the year, that kept them afloat in many ways while the offense floundered at the beginning of the year. And you're seeing certain guys turn it on, and you've seen other guys come up, Peterson come up, be serviceable, you know, and obviously now Manaea's last two starts have been just flat out brilliant. And, you know, young kids come up and Scott and pitch well, and Severino at times look like an ace. But the problem is now, as you look at Severino, and I know his velocity was back up today, he hit 99 miles an hour on the radar gun. But the thing with Severino now is just flat out, and we talked about it after his last start, the innings and what he's approaching, what he's already done this year that he hasn't done since 2018. I mean, we are talking about an extensive jump in anything he's done for the last 5 years. And watching him last night, yes, the velocity was up, but to me, you could tell, and he talked about it in the postgame, his breaking ball wasn't what he needed it to be. I thought his location isn't where you want it. Now, could he muster up some velocity after knowing his velocity was down in his last start? Sure. But the fact of the matter is he's too important. We talked about it yesterday with Alonso, how if you look back at if we take this and fast forward to the end of the year and we look at Pete Alonso and we say he's still as insignificant at the end of the year as he's been over the last month, that the Mets aren't going to be where they want to be. And the same thing with Severino. If Severino is going to be what we've seen over the last two starts, whether it be velocity down, whether it not having his good location, his good ride on his fastball, his good breaking ball, whatever the case may be, if he is not going to be the pitcher that you could put at the top of a rotation. And I know that's a lot to ask, especially coming off, like I just said, the innings since 2018, last year's debacle that was his season with the Yankees, and the flyer they took on him to now thrust upon him, hey, he's the top of this rotation. He's extremely imperative. As Severino goes, so go the Mets. But that's where we are. And he wasn't brutal in this game, but still, to get through five innings, five runs, and have the inability to locate his breaking ball. This is back-to-back starts. You have not seen the best of Severino. And considering how important he is, considering how many innings he's already at, this is a very concerning moving forward, because if Severino isn't what he was the last, five starts prior to the last two, again, I think it's going to be a tough time for this Mets team to make it where they want to go with a surging San Diego Padres team and a surging Arizona Diamondbacks team. And then you get to the offense again, where this game early on, Harrison Bader, who's been great, another one of these names that you throw into the having career year pile that the Mets have stacked up over the last 2 months. And Bader comes through with a big hit, gives them a 2-0 lead in this game early on. And it feels like, all right, here we go, right? The good performance off St. Louis. You score some runs there. You break out of your slump. You move the lineup back to normal after the tweak against St. Louis. But you get the big hit from Tyrone Taylor. Breaks the game open. Bader got you on the board early in that game as well. 2-0 over the lousy Rockies, and you start to feel good. And then, obviously, Severino gives up the 3 runs in the fourth. And suddenly you come through with a couple of big spots here. And to me, the game is the Winker double play. The Winker double play, where you have first and third, one out. The manager decides to pinch hit for Winker. And Winker, on the first pitch, hits a double play. And that just felt like, well, here it is. Here's the opportunity for the Mets to come through. Here's the opportunity to get back into this game. Here's the opportunity to get into a lousy Colorado bullpen that was able to shut you down for the last 4 innings of this game. You got Justin Lawrence with his 5.8 ERA, Kinley with a 6.61 ERA. I mean, this bullpen for Colorado has been one of the worst in baseball. They're terrible, and they come through with big opportunities here. They get the base, they get a double, they get a base hit, they get first and third. Nimmo gives you another 2-hit night. He kills it in this ballpark, and they pinch hit Winker. And now Mendoza has had the Midas touch, and everything he's touched. He moves Taylor to this 2-hole yesterday. He comes up in the big spot with the bases loaded and comes through. And in this spot, he decides to go to Winker relatively early on in this game against a right-handed pitcher. And on the first pitch, he hits into that double play, and that's where the game is. The next inning, same spot for Martinez. He's got second and third, two outs, and he hits a soft little ground ball to second base to get out of the inning. Those two spots is where the game is won and lost for this Met team. And this is where they either pound and score a bunch of runs, or they struggle to come through with the big hit. A nice play out in the outfield by Cave again to make sure that it's second and third in that inning when Martinez hits the double play, the ground ball to end the inning with two outs, as opposed to letting the run score. They played good defense. McMahon was incredible at third base in this game. You get the wonky play from Vientos. The defense was better for Colorado than it was for the Mets, and they came through in the big spots, and the Mets did not. And this offense if you take away that second game against the Yankees and the first game against Minnesota, and maybe yesterday against St. Louis, they have really done nothing offensively since the All-Star break. And they have been another night where they're 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position. And they came through with the game on the line in two spots. and Winker hits into the double play, and Martinez, who's been slumping now for a while, who is as important a player for the Mets over that, you know, that first month, the walk-off home run against Miami, the, you know, his emergence at the beginning of June was as important as anything on this team, as important as Lindor. I mean, Lindor kept it longer and was better, but it felt like Martinez was the one who really got them out of it. He's been slumping for a while now. He can't come through. Winker, who they brought here and there, working him easy into the outfield, however many innings he's been playing. They're trying to get him up to speed. Someone, the one bat they've added, he comes in and pinch hits, hits into a double play. Those were the two spots in this game where the Mets have come through over the last month or so, and since the All-Star break, they have not. They have been the worst team in baseball this side of the White Sox with runners in scoring position, and it came to bite them again, even against one of the worst bullpens in baseball. And even in the ninth, with Vodnik, who dominated them the first time around earlier in the season, came in and was behind everybody. And Bader gets a hard hit to third base for the force, and that was about it. 3-1 to Bader, and he is unable to come through, hits one to McMahon, who was incredible at third base last night. And this Met team continues to struggle with runners in scoring position. And when you look at it now, right, the bullpen you're feeling a little bit better than. Brazoban came through and was much better. Two innings, six up, six down. The addition to the bullpen, you're starting to round into shape there. The, you know, Beto and what he's been in the weapon there. Diaz is starting to feel better. The bullpen is kind of coming around. Reed Garrett threw an inning in rehab assignment, so he could be on his way back. Reed Foley could be on his way back. So the bullpen's starting to round into shape a little bit. But this offense has come back to earth, and it's, you know, it's probably unfair. And I talked about this at the trade deadline when I wanted to continue to add to the rotation. I wanted to add to the bullpen because it's unfair to ask this offense to continue to roll the way it was rolling in June when they were as dynamic an offense in the sport. Like, they weren't as bad. They're probably not as bad as they were, like most teams. They aren't as bad as they were to start the year, and they aren't as good as they were driving this record back up to respectability. They're somewhere in the middle. And you knew they were going to cool off. And Lindor, with three strikeouts last night, 0 for 4, he was eventually going to cool off. Nimmo, who got hot here in Colorado, he loves hitting in this ballpark, he's cooled off. Martinez cooled off. Vientos cooled off. Like, eventually, this lineup was not going to be this dominant as it was for that month. And that's why not only is it's troubling, not because it's just not dominant, it's because in the big spots, they're coming up small over and over and over again now for 2 weeks. And then you look at the rotation, and yes, Manaea has been incredible over the last two starts, but you've been dealing with some injuries. You lose Senga, which was a gut punch, and now Severino coming off the biggest jump in innings of his career, and something you're asking a veteran pitcher to now sort of, you know, sustain himself. There's going to be ups and downs. Even if he figures it out, even if the velocity is back, it's still a strain on his arm that he hasn't experienced in 2018. So when you look at it and you see the Arizona Diamondbacks surging and you see the Padres and what they did at the trade deadline and the way they're playing, and yes, the Atlanta Braves have fallen back to the pack. They are now the third wild card, a half a game behind both of those teams. But right now the Mets a game and a half behind. You can't start this road trip. And it ends, it starts with this 10-game road trip out west against lousy teams, and it ends with a 4-game set against San Diego and a 3-game set against Arizona at the end of the month. You have to pad your wins here against these bad teams. You can't go into Anaheim and lose 2 of 3. You can't start a series against Colorado and not be able to come through against one of the worst bullpens in baseball with your quote-unquote ace on the mound and lose the opening night to Colorado. These are losses the Mets can't afford. These are losses the Mets did not build themselves enough of a cushion to overcome. These are wins that they have to bank as they move forward this month, because you know what? Maybe as they were winning and as they were right there with that 4-game set against Atlanta, and I go back to that moment because I remember working with Sean that afternoon talking about after the Thursday night win, Friday, heading into the weekend, how important it was to make a statement against the Braves and how important it was to win that series. They win that Friday night, and then that weekend against the Braves, you are talking about being right there to be the top wild card. The top wild card. And since then, they lost those last two to the Braves, and now they've started this road trip off the way they've started it, and everybody else is winning. And what once looked like maybe you could get in with 83, 84 wins as the Diamondbacks and Corbin Carroll and the rest of the cast was floundering, and now all of a sudden they've caught fire, and Jock Peterson's playing like he did in 2021 with the Braves down the stretch of the season. I mean, it looked like a clear-cut path for the Mets to make the playoffs. And now you look at it, and it's, well, Severino's struggling. Severino's at an innings limit that he hasn't been anywhere near since 2018. Concerned about him. Concerned about that rotation without Senga. Senga's no longer coming back. That happened. Now he's gone for the rest of the year. Who knows about Scott? Who knows about this rotation? Blackburn's going to get a second start as a Met. The first one was positive. We'll see if he could provide some sort of spark. But you got Severino not only struggling, but major concerns about him pitching this deep into a season. You've got an offense that brought them and dragged them back into this thing, floundering, struggling, all those hot hitters cooled off, and an offense that can't come through with a hit in a big spot. The two things driving this team to that record, driving them to that point against Atlanta, where they were right there to become the first wild card, now have major question marks, and they are a game and a half behind two of the hottest teams in baseball. A game and a half behind Atlanta, two games behind two of the hottest teams in baseball in Arizona and San Diego. And what seemed like a spot secured for the Mets inside this wild card suddenly seems as up in the air as it has in the last month. And that's a brutal loss last night, and they have got to figure out a way. There's no excuse. These are two must wins. You cannot lose this series to the lousy Rockies. You can't lose it. The next two nights are now must wins for the New York Mets. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So this offense has got to figure it out with runners in scoring position. This rotation, you know, has got to figure it out if Severino's going to have a problem here and fade down the stretch. And this team that was right there on the precipice of becoming the first wild card is now hanging on for dear life. 888-808-1019. We can talk a little Yankees as they were rained out against the lousy Angels. Doubleheader tomorrow. We can get into the real... I want to get into the real question because I sense this is a thing with fans. What do the Yankees do with Jason Dominguez? I think that's a real question mark right now, and we're going to get into it a little bit later in the show. And, of course, we'll get into Giants camp, another fight-filled practice against the Lions, and Malik Nabers making a case. Everybody's talking about Malik Nabers already showing that he could be one of the dominant forces inside the NFL.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:27, Rick Monagle here with you on this Wednesday morning, 5-hour midnight ride. Wasn't supposed to be that way, but the Yankees got rained out. The weather here is supposed to be bad for a while, so we'll see. Hopefully tomorrow they can get in the straight doubleheader. But we are reacting to the Mets' loss to the Colorado Rockies 6-3 last night. And, you know, for me, the game was really lost in the sixth. You know, they're down 5-3. Pete Alonso leads off with a single up the middle. Now, again, I was listening to it on the radio. I was driving in the commute in the pouring rain. So I'm listening to this on the radio, right? So Alonso singles. He actually got two hits in this game. After, did he get a couple hits yesterday, too? So he's responding a little bit. No home runs, no power, but hopefully he, you know, they desperately need him to wake up. I mean, because it's time for him to carry the team. We'll get back into Alonso if you want, because, again, you can't expect Lindor, Nimmo, these guys to be hot forever. Pete has got to carry his share of this. But he leads off the inning with a single. Vientos flies out. Iglesias singles on the ground ball to right, and Pete goes to third. And so it's first and third, one out. And Mendy goes to Jesse Winker for Torrens. And I'm thinking in the car, I mean, it's a little early, but this is the spot. I mean, I agree with it. I agree with trying to get Winker in there. It's the sixth inning. Winker has been brought here to hit. I mean, Torrens has done a nice job, but you want Winker in that spot. I totally agree. I understood going to Winker there. And on the first pitch, Winker hits into a double play right to second base. I mean, that's a killer. To have the pinch hit, that spot on the ropes, first pitch, ground ball double play. And for me, that's where the game was. Now, they did bounce back in the seventh as well with Chavilli on the mound, who's had a 5.40 ERA. I mean, Lawrence, 5.82. Chavilli, 5.40 ERA. Kinley, 6.61 ERA. I mean, this is a bullpen that has been atrocious. This is a miserable bullpen. And after the first two outs of the inning from Bader and Taylor, Francisco Lindor gets a base hit through the first base hole. Nimmo then doubles, who again, he had a good night. Nimmo's killing it here in Colorado. He doubles. Jake Cave, the left fielder, makes a great play to get to the ball before it rolls to the wall and keep Lindor from scoring. So now it's second and third, two outs. They go right after J.D. Martinez, and he grounds out the second base. Like, those two spots in the sixth and seventh inning, that's where the game is lost. That's where they had their opportunities. The base hit ties the game there. And if you tie that game, now I know anything could happen, but you tie that game and it's a bullpen game between the Mets with Diaz still available and the rest of that crappy bullpen, the Mets are going to win that game if they tie the game. And in back-to-back innings, they have first and third, one out, and second and third, two outs, and they're unable to get the hit. And that's been the story of this offense. The story of this offense is a couple of games where they scored some runs, a couple of blowouts, and then yesterday they put together an inning and scored four against St. Louis. But besides that, this offense has really cooled off, and they cannot get the big hit. They cannot get the big hit. 2-for-7 last night, which isn't awful, awful, but not good enough in this game. But when you stack it up with what they've been since the All-Star break, it tells the story of why they're struggling. And again, 2-for-2 and 3 to start this is just not good enough. It's just not good enough. And a game against Colorado with Severino on the mound, who got his rest, right? No, he didn't have to worry about that scheduling. He flew to Colorado. He didn't have to go from there. He didn't have to go from Los Angeles to St. Louis to Colorado. He flew straight from L.A. to Colorado. He was able to get his rest. And with your ace on the mound against the Rockies, you have to win that game. You have a 2-0 lead with Severino on the mound against the Colorado Rockies. You have to win that game. This is an ugly loss. Now, they have to come back. If they win the next two, they took a series, you move on. They cannot lose this series. These next two games are huge for the Mets. Huge. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Andrew in Woodburn. What's up, Andrew?
I just wanted to say that the Mets are playing absolutely terrible. It all started from the deadline where they didn't get a starting pitcher. This team's not going anywhere. Even if they make it to the third wild card spot, they're not making it anywhere without a pitcher that could pitch the ball. Their offense with runners in scoring position is atrocious. Mm-hmm. And even if they somehow get into this third wild card spot, me as a diehard Mets fan, I have no confidence in them making it anywhere.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm not so concerned about what they'll do once they get there. I got to be totally honest with you. That's a secondary conversation. I mean, I still think this offense, top to bottom, is dangerous. And if they could, get out of this little bit of funk they're in with runners in scoring position, I think this offense is still pretty damn good, top to bottom. And I'm still waiting for Alonso to get freaking hot here. But I mean, I think once they get in, you worry about that later. This is about getting in. That's what I want. That's what should be the expectation of this team. I know expectations change. And I know at the start of the year, I, for one, I'll be totally honest with you, I poo-pooed the idea. I didn't think they were a bad team. necessarily, or that they couldn't make the playoffs, but I didn't think they were that serious about it. I honestly didn't. I didn't think that they, I thought it was just, you know, appeasing the fan base when they gave you that we're trying to win while we rebuild and all that. Like, I didn't, they were trying to rebuild. I still feel that way. This was more about the future than it was this year. And if by happy accident they made it to the playoffs, even better. Great. And they added, to be fair, they added at the trade deadline, not in a major way, not with major prospects. I get it. Most Met fans seem to be pleased with that. I get it. But expectations change when you're playing the Atlanta Braves and you take the first two games while they're in a skid and they've already lost Acuna. They lost Albies. Their offense is absolutely struggling. Olsen having a terrible year. Riley have a terrible year. You win the first two games of a four-game set against Atlanta and you are right there to take over the first wild card game. Well, the first wild card in the standings. Well, that's where things change. And now expectations are you better make the freaking playoffs. And that's where I am with this team. I don't need them to win the World Series. That'd be great. That'd be really nice. I don't need them to make a deep run to the NLCS. That'd be great. That'd be really nice. And I think they're good enough to do that. I think they're good enough to be playing in the NLCS. I do. But I don't need that. What I need is this team to make the playoffs. With this amount of playoff teams, and I understand right now the dynamic changes too. When I have to be fair both ways. When I say expectations change for the Mets, I have to be honest and say, hey, expectations have changed for this last wild card spot, which is now being presently held by the Atlanta Braves. The Padres have jumped them. The Diamondbacks have jumped them while being idle, at least the Diamondbacks. I mean, so it's going to take more wins, and it's actually more difficult than I thought it would have been 3 weeks ago. But that doesn't change the fact that they were right there to be the first wild card, and right now I'm worried this is a skid coming. I'm worried, you know, you lose Senga, you were able to bounce back from that a little bit. You have a tough series loss against Anaheim. You bounce back with a win in St. Louis. They have to bounce back yet again, and they'll have Blackburn on the mound on Wednesday, later today, and then they have Peterson on the mound on Thursday against Feltner, who's got a 1-10 record, and Gomber, who's 3-7. You have got to find a way to take both of these games from Colorado. You have to. You have to. It's non-negotiable. The Mets have got to figure out a way to get these two wins. And the way they played last night, I mean, this offense continues to be, you know, feast or famine. They either score a bunch, they have these big innings. That's been a calling card of this team. You have these big innings, you score a bunch of runs, or you get tight in the big spot. And I know they played some wonky defense. Again, I'm in the car. I didn't get to see the, I got to go back and watch it. I didn't get a chance to see the Vientos play where it goes in and out of his glove and out of bounds or out of play. And to be fair, Colorado played great defense in this game, whether it's McMahon at third base and all the plays he made, whether Jay Cave, who made that incredible, I don't know about incredible, but did a really good job making sure that ball doesn't get to the wall and that Lindor doesn't score. So they played good defense. They played well. Cave hits the home run, which, to be fair to Severino, is barely hit. You know, I was watching SNY just before I walked in, and they were talking about the exit velocity of it. It was like 91 miles an hour. Typically, those balls don't go out. This is what happens. First ever time pitching Colorado for Severino. This is what happens in that ballpark. And it's up to the Mets to hit those home runs. It's up to the Mets to score some runs. And they had opportunities in this game. And they couldn't come through. That's on them. And not to get on Mendy, because you can. I mean, I agreed with the move at the time, listening in the car, and he's been great. He's been great. Now, was I surprised a little bit that they didn't stick with the same lineup that scored six runs yesterday? I suppose a little bit. I figured there was a good chance they would have kept Taylor in the two hole, or just had the idea of leaving that two hole for different guys. Could you put Bader in the two-hole, Taylor back in the two-hole? Could you put Iglesias in the two-hole, Vientos in the two-hole, whoever? Like, I thought that they might keep that Lindor, someone else in the two hole, and move Nimmo, Martinez, Alonso down to 3-4-5 instead of 2-3-4. I thought that was a possibility. It worked the other day. I thought they would do it. He didn't keep it. He went back to the old reliable lineup, which I'm not getting on him for. I just thought maybe he would keep it that way. And then I'm not going to kill him for Winker. The difference is, I mean, pinch hitting Winker there in the sixth, makes sense. But he had that Midas touch where for a while there, every move he made was right. And this one, immediately as he puts it in, as immediately as Winker gets in, he hits first pitch, double play, and kills the game. This was it's a little bit of a weird game, I get it. And the rain delay, I have never, again, driving in the car, so I didn't see it, but I've never seen that before in my life. I've never seen a 9-minute delay where it sounded like, again, I didn't see it, it sounded like the umpires took their players off the field after Alonso kind of lost the ball in the clouds, a pop-up that actually ended up going into the stands anyway, but it looks like Alonso loses it in the sky, in the driving rain, puddles everywhere on the infield. They call the guys off the field, and I have never seen the tarp not be brought out. I don't know if I've ever seen just, hey, get off the field while we work on it for 10 minutes. I don't know if I can remember that. Maybe it has happened somewhere down the line. I don't remember. So that was a weird, you know, the field was in bad condition. I remember a couple balls later in the game, breaking balls that would hit the dirt and just stay there. Like nothing, the catchers didn't even need to be there. Then nothing was getting by a catcher late in that game. But just a weird game with the weather pouring, you know, obviously raining here. It looked like a beautiful night. When I left my house, suddenly clouds show up and cause a 9-minute rain delay without a tarp. You get a BS Colorado home run from Jay Cave, former Yankee farmhand, traded for Luis Gil, oddly enough, to Minnesota. And you get Vientos putting the ball out of play, and you get an offense that can't come through in the big spot. And Severino's a problem. Severino is a problem right now. And I know it's unfair. It's the same thing that happened. I mentioned Luis Gil, same thing. Right, same thing. He two bad starts. You got to question it. Severino is now upwards of 120 innings. He has not gone anywhere near that since 2018. Let's go, Luis Severino. Again, let's do the numbers on his innings. Severino heading into this start had 123 innings. He threw five innings, so he's at 128 innings. That is the most he's thrown since 2018. And it's not close. Right? It's not like, hey, he was right, you know, 2019, he threw 12 innings. 2020, didn't play. 2021, 6 innings. 2022, 102 innings. 2023, 89 innings. So he's barely thrown over 100 innings since 2018. And he's upwards of, he's just about a 230 now. And it was his first start of August. Or maybe it was, what's today, the 7th? So maybe his second start of August. Like, we're just getting August underway. It's the first week of August. He's got 2 months, and he's well past anything he's done for 6 years, 5 years. That's scary. That's scary for a team who desperately needs him. And moving forward, those are my two guys. My two guys for the New York Mets who have to be at the top of their game if they're going to want to accomplish this and be one of those three wild cards are Severino at the top of the rotation. They desperately need, unless Manaea is just going to take that role over. I have a hard time believing that. I know he's been great the last two starts. He doesn't really have the stuff necessarily to make you think that, but not that he's not a good pitcher. He's a very good pitcher. But he's got to be, you know, he's got to be perfect. He's got to get 7 shutout innings and 11 strikeouts. Manaea's got to be perfect. I wouldn't anticipate. Now, he could still be good. I'm not saying he's going to get blown up his next couple starts. He could still be good. I don't know if he could be that good consistently. So you're talking about needing Severino at the top of that rotation and needing Pete Alonso in the middle of that lineup. Those are the two guys for me moving forward who desperately need to be what at their best if the Mets are going to accomplish this task of getting back into the playoff picture, which right now, they are a game and a half back of the wild card, but they were right there to be the first team. And this offense has got to pick it up again. They've got to come through with runners in scoring position. And they need Pete Alonso to start hitting home runs, man. They need that comment that yesterday that I killed him for it and be a self-fulfilling prophecy and get damn near 40 home runs because he's got to get hot here. Has to. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Met fans, let's go. How you feeling? After a brutal loss to Colorado, after starting this road trip 2-3 and heading into two must-win games to make sure you do not lose back-to-back series. I know you throw the one game St. Louis in there. Let's forget that for a second. You cannot lose back-to-back series to the Angels and the Rockies. Can't do it. Not if you want to win. Huge games. Huge game for Blackburn. His second start in a New York Met uniform. Huge game for him later today.
Manning takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:51, McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. Let's get to your Met phone calls. As we worry about the lineup and their inability to come through in the clutch, and we worry about Severino and his innings limits and his last two starts, where he's given up 10 runs in his last two starts. This one not as bad as the last. Velocity was back up, no doubt. But he even talked about it. Didn't have his breaking stuff. I didn't think he had great location from what I saw early on. And just another performance where not as sharp as he's been, and you're reaching a point where it's just concern. It might be foolish concern, might not be a real thing. But when you look at the inning limits he's had and the numbers of innings he's pitched over the last couple of years, and you look at what he's doing now, it's a legitimate concern. Tommy in Astoria, what's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Before I make my med point, did you see where the kid Rodriguez tonight on Baltimore didn't make a start because he was warming up and his arm was hurting? So that's like the number two guy behind Burns.
Yeah,
so, I think it's just a matter of time.
I actually did not see that. I got to be honest with you guys.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was on until late. I had to take my son somewhere, this baseball camp he's doing. I got home at like 3:00. I fell asleep and I slept from like 3 to 8:30. Or so, as the start of the Met game was happening. So I didn't get a chance to really look around Major League Baseball. So he did. He was scratched from the start prior to the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're going to check on him. They don't know how serious it is. But that's big. He's having a good year. That's his second starter.
You know? Yeah, listen, I don't like to root for injuries. Hopefully he's all right. Well, but yeah, no, the idea that if they have to deal with that on top of everything else, yeah, that's going to be tough for Baltimore to deal with.
Yeah, and as far as getting to sleep, Bowie Knight's still doing overnights. I know it's constant battle.
I mean, it's just, when I can. And, you know, the last couple of days I've had to do something with my son. So I haven't been able to go home and go to sleep until later in the afternoon. So I slept from like 3 to 8:30 or so today.
Oh, 5.5 hours.
Ain't kidding. I actually sleep better if I do that. It's funny, you know, you learn all these ways. If I go right to sleep when I get home, I don't sleep those long stretches. I kind of end up breaking it up. If I wait till 2:00, I sleep better, but then I don't see the kids. Then I don't have dinner. Then I'm in a rush. I don't like to sleep from 2 to 9 or so, but I do sleep better when I do that. So it's bizarre. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. It's only been a year. You think I'd have figured it out, but I have not.
It takes a while. I've been doing it for like 2.5 years, and I don't know. Anyway, about the Mets, I'd say I like the move tonight by Mendoza. I thought that was aggressive, putting Winker up in the sixth, but I did like that move.
Yeah.
It didn't work out, but I thought it was a good move. Quick question, simple question. You're a great baseball guy. Who do you see coming out of the National League and making it to the World Series of these teams? I still like Philly.
If Mookie Betts, I'm curious to see what Ohtani does in the playoffs. If Mookie Betts gets healthy, I mean, the top of that order, you know, if Freddie Freeman, who's dealing with something that I can't imagine, if he can get his mind right, if everything starts to, you know, work out better with his son, and that's something that's no longer a day-to-day heavy weight on his mind, which I'm sure will be forever. But, you know, if it's something you can get past and they're dominant at the top of the order and they've added, you know, now they've gotten Flaherty to help with that rotation, I would say the Dodgers are pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are pretty dangerous. Now, but again, these wild card teams, like right now, the Padres are on a streak. The Diamondbacks are on a streak. We saw them make it to the World Series last year. They've got pretty good pitching. The Diamondbacks have a lineup top to bottom. You know, without anyone really, you know, devastating, top to bottom, they are solid all the way through. Jock Peterson, he's been a proven, you know, late game postseason performer. It was enormous for the Braves in the playoffs a couple years ago. So there's a lot of answers right now. And it could, listen, the Mets lineup, let's be honest, I'm worried about the Mets rotation necessarily to get into a playoff series and that with the rotation they have. But if Reed Foley comes back, if the bullpen gets in order and the lineup, I think, is as good as anyone top to bottom, you know, who knows? It's wide open. I do not see a dominant force on any front. I don't think Cleveland, Baltimore, Yankees are dominant. I don't think Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, I don't think anyone's dominant. I think it's wide open, both sides.
Yeah, I don't see it falling out of it. You know, it's funny. If we wind up with an 86, 87 games that we just can't make it because other teams are winning 88, 90, then I still don't think it's a losing year for the organization. I still think it'd be disappointing where we were. But I mean, if you look at it, after take away the emotion of it all, I mean, I still think, it, you know, with Stearns and Cohen in his fourth year, you're still going in the right direction. That's how I would look at it. I know it'd be disappointing, but if these teams just stay hot, they just outplay us. I mean, what can you do? I mean, they're just better. I mean, they just beat us. I mean, there's still a long way to go.
I understand what you're saying. Like right now, looking at the wild card, the Padres are 10 games over. The Diamondbacks are 9 games over. The Braves are 8 games over at 536. So right now, 536, let's do a quick 0.536 times 162 equals 86. So right now, the Braves are on pace to win 86 games. Are you saying if the Mets win, let's say the Mets win 86 games, which would be a nice number, clear the over-under, that's a solid, I think everyone would have signed for 86 wins. And a month ago, I think you would have thought it would have got you in the playoffs. But you get 86, 87 wins, and the Braves win, Diamondbacks win, and Padres win all above 87 or 88, and you miss out. Can you sell yourself on a positive season? I suppose, but for me, I'm sorry. When I am right there with the Atlanta Braves after taking the first two of a four-game set, and I have an opportunity to jump them and become the first wild card, and from that point on, I don't make the playoffs with the way that offense was performing and the way I was looking and the way I was the hottest team in baseball, the way the Mets were, I'm sorry. From that moment, to me, it became a little bit of a playoff mandate. Now, it's not heads will roll. Sure, you're not going to fire the manager. You're still going to consider it's like somewhat of a positive year, but ultimately, it would be a letdown for me. At the beginning of the year, 87 wins, just missing the wild card because the rest of the National League had a great year or the teams got hot. Yes, I could have been sold on, hey, that's one hell of a season. But when you are in the wild card, when you are winning one more game against the Atlanta Braves away from being the first wild card, I have a tough time a week later trying to sell myself on, well, listen, 86 wins and just missing. What are you going to do? Teams get hot. I have a tough time with that one. They have to get in. They don't have to win anything, but they have to get in. Otherwise, it's a bit of a disappointment at this point. That's how well they've played. That's what I think of the Mets. Like, if I just thought it was a fluke 3 weeks where they just didn't lose or whatever the case may be, then I wouldn't be like that. But I look at this lineup and I see Lindor having one of the better years of his career, certainly in a Met uniform. I look at, you know, Nimmo having one of the better years of his career. I look at Vientos and his emergence and a 900 OPS from a guy that you were thrilled to send to the minors when J.D. Martinez was brought here. You look at Iglesias, a veteran, having a career year. You look at Bader hitting 270, 280, coming through with every big clutch, every big at-bat he comes through. Like, there are so many positives. So many guys in this lineup are having career years. So many players are outperforming what the highest of expectations of them that I can't just poo-poo that and say, well, you know, like, I need that season to culminate in something. Because next year, who knows? Next year, Vientos might not look like this. I think he will. I'm hopeful he will. But I don't know. Taylor. I didn't even say Taylor. How many big hits has Taylor had? You got the OMG. You got Grimace. There's just a lot of good feeling around the team. Severino off of last year's disaster, pitching the way he's pitched up until this point. Manaea hasn't been a good pitcher for 2 years, having the year he's having. That rotation was supposed to kill them at the beginning of the year. That was their biggest weakness, waiting for Senga. He comes. He hasn't pitched all year. One start. And this rotation's been good enough. You added Scott, was a pleasant surprise for, you know, a little bit. He's dealing with an injury, but ultimately, it's been so much better than you could have expected on so many different fronts, especially after the miserable start, that, yeah, okay, 87 wins might have sounded great 2 months ago. And you could probably still sell me a little bit on it where I'm not, you know, furious about it, but ultimately, not good enough. But let's focus on the right in front of us. The Mets have two games they can't lose, plain and simple. The Mets have two games coming up with Blackburn and Peterson on the mound against the one of, if not, you know, one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball, this side of the White Sox. You can't lose these next two games.